Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. In a way, this is a special broadcast because it will be the last time that we will have the Let the Bible Speak program on a Saturday morning. Next week, we are switching to Sunday morning. I want to thank all of our Saturday morning listeners in studying the Bible with us from week to week. I greatly appreciate that. I appreciate those who support this program monetarily. Of course, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, and those who support us through listening and being interested in spiritual things. That means a lot to me. And most importantly, I'm glad that through the years we have been able to reach many people in preaching and teaching with the Word of God. We're not going away. We're simply switching from Saturday morning to Sunday morning, and we are going to 105.1 The Wolf, FM 105.1 The Wolf, on Sunday morning, the 27th of December, and we will be on from 8:30 to 9. And so tell your friends about that. Move with us from Saturday morning to Sunday morning, 105.1 The Wolf, and study God's Word with us, 8:30 to 9. This morning on the program, I want us to consider the most important future event that lies ahead of us. And if you were to ask people here in Clarksville and Montgomery County and surrounding areas, what is the most important date that lies ahead for you? A high schooler, a senior in high school might say, well, my graduation next spring, if we can make it that far with all of the COVID and everything going on. If you were to ask my son, he would say, well, I can think of, I'm getting married next June, and he's excited about that. Somebody might say a wedding, a baby's birth, first child being born, your first full-time regular job, car, house, buying a house for the first time. These are important dates that lie ahead for some people. But I'm here to tell you, friends, that that is not the most important thing. I would say that Jesus' second coming is the most important future date for all of us. Friends, have you thought lately about the second coming of Jesus Christ? He came for the first time about 2,000 years ago to live and die on the cross for the sins of the world. He left his law, his word, through the apostles, the 27 books of the New Testament. He ascended back into heaven. He reigns and rules at the right hand of God. But he's coming back. Friend, are you ready for that? In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time, apart from sin, to them that wait for him, unto salvation. Are you waiting for him unto salvation? Have you obeyed his gospel? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Are you living faithfully and waiting for him unto salvation? If the answer is no, let me encourage you to make that important change. If the answer is yes, then let me encourage you to keep living faithfully. This morning, I want us to consider five second coming parables of Jesus. You know, Jesus taught in parables, stories that illustrate spiritual principles that he was trying to get across to his audience. And the parables of Jesus are some of the most important teachings that we know about, most familiar with, in the Gospels. And he taught some parables concerning his second coming. And I want to focus in on those this morning. Jesus is coming again. He's going to appear a second time. And we don't know when that will be. There are so many prognosticators and forecasters that say Jesus is coming this year or on this date or that date, and they've been wrong every time. And different world events come up, and actually COVID has been used as a statement that some religious people have made that Jesus is coming in 2020 because of COVID. Different events happen and people tie that to the second coming of Christ, and every time they're wrong. And the reason they are is the New Testament teaches, contrary to some popular religious beliefs, that there is no sign of his second coming. People misinterpret Matthew chapter 24 and other passages and say, well, there are certain signs that you can look for the second coming of Christ. In fact, Jesus tells us, and Paul tells us, that his coming will be like a thief in the night, which means unexpected. This is not something where you're going to have advance notice, just like a thief doesn't tell you ahead of time what night he's going to break into your home. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So the unexpected nature of Jesus' coming. But even though Jesus' coming is unexpected, that doesn't mean that we can be, or that we have to be, unprepared. Those are two different things. Unexpected, yes. Unprepared, no. We can be prepared for Jesus' coming. We can be watching. We can be ready. We can be blessed. We can be obedient. And so this morning, I want us to consider the second coming parables of Jesus. Two of these are found in the book of Luke, and three of them are found in the book of Matthew. So if you'll open up in your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin there in verses 35 through 40. And we're simply going to read the parable as much as we can and make some brief and obvious principles to help us understand the importance of being ready for Jesus' second coming. The first parable that I want to talk about is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. Jesus said, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lamps burning, and be ye yourselves likened unto men looking for their Lord when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he comes and knocks, they may straightway open unto him. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and shall come and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, and if in the third, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not have left his house to be broken through. Be ye also ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes." I want you to notice, first of all, friends, that I'm going to call this the parable of the doorkeeper. Notice that we find in verse 36, "Be ye yourselves likened unto men looking for their Lord when he shall return from the marriage feast, and when he comes and knocks, they may straightway or immediately open unto him." The doorkeeper or the watchman is ready to open the door for his master. Friends, I want you to think about this. When Jesus comes again, will you open the door for him? Will you open the door when Jesus comes again? And by that, I mean accept him and be ready for him to come in and have fellowship with you. We have a meal that is spoken of here in verse 37. Are you open to Jesus now? Open to obeying him? It's like he's knocking at a door. He said that to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's not going to force his way into your life. And when he comes again, what side will you be on? Will you be on the side of the righteous or on the side of the wicked, the obedient or disobedient? And if you're on the side of the obedient, you're going to want Jesus to come in. You're going to want to be with him, to accept him. You're not going to want to ignore him, resist him, run from him. You're going to open the door when he comes. You're watching, you're ready, and it's like you're saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." We need to be that type of person. Friend, are you open to Jesus in your obedience? Is your life and schedule and time and talents open to Jesus and his service? Or have you closed him out? Friend, open up and let him in. Look at Luke chapter 12, and we continue our reading in verses 41 through 48, the parable of the steward. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus goes on to say, when Peter responds to him, Luke 12, 41, and Peter said, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall set over his house, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall so find doing." What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes again? Good question. Verse 44, "Of a truth I say unto you that he will set him over all that he has. But if that servant shall say in his heart, 'My Lord delays his coming,' and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he expects not, and in an hour when he knows not, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his Lord's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much of him will they ask the more." What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes again? The servant in this parable used his master's delay, the one in verse 45, used his master's delay to engage in all kinds of evil deeds toward others and himself. When Jesus comes again, friends, will you be living ungodly lives, or will you be living godly lives? How will you be living when Jesus comes again? Something to think about. We need to be living in all holiness and godliness. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:10 that when the Lord comes again in the day of the Lord, the earth and the works therein will be burned up. And he goes on to say in verse 14 that we need to be, seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holiness? In all holiness. Are we going to live holy and godly lives? Are we going to be found in peace, without spot, and blameless in his sight? You see. Or are we going to be living ungodly lives? Do you know, people are using this time right now where Jesus has not come again, they're using that time to just live any way they want. And you see that out in society today. Just having a good time. Sexual immorality, alcohol, drug abuse, divorce for any cause, abortion, homosexuality, transgender, all kinds of things that are unscriptural and ungodly. And that's the truth of it. There are many people who are afraid to say the Bible truth anymore. Not on this program. It's the Let the Bible Speak program, which means let the truth speak. And we are not going to back down or have fear or cowardice about the truth of God's Word. And that's the truth. And so people are just living ungodly lives in sin, carrying on. And Paul even said that long ago, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, when they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even as also you do. We're not going to live in the darkness. And in the New Testament, the darkness is symbolic of immorality and worldliness. Let's not be living ungodly lives. But in Luke chapter 12, 41 through 48, Jesus talks about the servant who knew his Lord's will and made not ready. He preferred just to live an ungodly life. We have the New Testament in our hands to make us ready. Don't squander that, friends. Let's look at the third second coming parable. And to do that, we need to turn over to Matthew chapter 24 and 25. We'll start with Matthew chapter 24. Jesus teaches a parable concerning his second coming. The first part of Matthew chapter 24 deals with the destruction of Jerusalem. But starting in verse 36, but of that day and hour knows no one, he's talking about his second coming. He's talking about two different subjects in Matthew chapter 24, and some people confuse that. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 36, but of that day and hour knows no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. And as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And so he's going to give an illustration here. For as in the days which were before the flood, Genesis chapter 6 and 7, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two men be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two women shall be grinding at the millstone, one is taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for you know not what the day on what day the Lord comes. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man comes. You see, this idea of readiness, shows up in these parables. Friend, you've got to be ready. And just thinking about Jesus coming doesn't make us ready. Obeying the gospel does. But there's another point that is made here that I want to latch on to. And I want to talk about people being unaware and just going about their ordinary activities. Let me ask you this, friend. When Jesus comes again, will you just be doing ordinary things and you're not ready for Jesus to come? Work, school, shopping at the store, driving in your car, watching TV at home, reading a book, on your phone, surfing the internet, whatever, and you're not ready for Jesus to come. Jesus talks about some people here who weren't ready for the flood in Noah's day, and he mentions that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They were just doing ordinary worldly things, and they were unaware of coming judgment. Now, we know from 2 Peter chapter 2 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He warned them. He warned them, but they didn't listen to him. So let me ask you this. Will you be doing more than just the ordinary when Jesus comes again? Will you have obeyed the gospel and be ready for Jesus to come, living a faithful Christian life? There's nothing wrong with watching TV and surfing the internet and driving in the car and going to the store and going to work and going to school. There's nothing wrong with those things. But as we do those things, we need to be living the faithful Christian life so that we're ready. And Paul said that if we do not obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-8, when Jesus comes again, we receive vengeance when he comes with his angels in flaming fire. It's going to be a terrible thing, and we will suffer eternal destruction from the face of the Lord. Read 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. A terrible thing awaits those who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So just doing ordinary things. Look with me now at Matthew chapter 25, 1 through 13. We skipped over Matthew 24, 45 through 51, because that's the same parable of the unrighteous steward that we just read about in Luke 12, 41 through 48. So Matthew 24, 45 through 51 is the parallel account of that unrighteous steward. So we're going to skip over that and come to Matthew 25, 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. And again, it deals with Jesus' second coming, and he is trying to teach a particular point. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there is a cry, Behold the bridegroom! Come ye forth to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, Peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. The 5 foolish virgins were unprepared. The wise were prepared. And also notice that the foolish could not be saved by the wise. The wise saved themselves. We cannot save other people. We can save ourselves. And notice that the foolish were not given a second chance. When Jesus comes again, that's it. There's not a second chance. Oh, give me some more time. It doesn't work like that. That's it. And so, will you be ready, friends? Ready because you have already obeyed the gospel and you're living faithfully each and every day. What about that? You have time. You have time right now. Don't squander that. The whole point of the Let the Bible Speak program week after week is to let you know what God's Word is saying. We have lessons on what to do to be saved. We have lessons on what to do to stay saved. We have lessons on how to be forgiven of our sins. And that's what all of this is about, to make us ready for that next great day. There's a great day coming, we sing in our songbooks. Are you ready for that day to come? If the answer is no, then get ready now. It won't matter all of these other things. You know, it's interesting in the parable of the 10 virgins that they had some things going for them, but they still weren't ready. They were virgins. They were pure. But purity doesn't make us ready. And they had some oil. They had a good start, but that didn't make them ready. They were able to go later and buy. So apparently they had some money with them, which shows that they were organized and they had budgeted their money to have something with them so that they could go to the store. All of that's great, but that doesn't make you ready. So you can have some things going for you, friend, that are good things, but that didn't make you ready to meet the Lord. So people who are wise get themselves ready. People who are foolish, they just squander their life and their time and the opportunity that God is giving them now. Just foolish squandering that. Don't be like that, but be wise. And then last of all, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, the parable of the talents, where a man gives his servant 5 talents, another one 2 talents, another one 1 talent. And just paraphrasing, the 5-talent man doubles his, the 2-talent man doubles his. They were active, they were working, but the 1-talent man buried his. Verse 14, for it is as when. What? For what? We're talking about the coming of Jesus. It is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. It's like Jesus ascending back into heaven. He's going to be there for a while, and he wants us to be active. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his several or individual ability, and he went away on his journey. Straightway, he that had the 5 talents, received the 5 talents, went and traded with them and made 5 other. In like manner also, he that received the 2 talents gained another 2, but he that received the 1 went away and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and makes a reckoning with them. Jesus is coming again to reckon with us. The 5-talent man and the 2-talent man were blessed, but the 1-talent man was cast into outer darkness because he was not active with his talent. Friend, will you be actively working when Jesus comes again? We are to be engaged in good works. Titus chapter 2. And verse 13, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Let us be engaged in that. Jesus is coming again. Friend, you need to be open to him. You need to be doing good when he comes. You need to be doing more than just the ordinary. You need to be prepared and you need to be active. It is the most important day that lies ahead. Friend, if we can help you to be ready for Jesus in obeying the gospel, please contact us. Let's get together and study the Word of God. We're so glad that you joined us today, and we hope that you'll have a good day.